Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Everybody, how about that? How about that greeting? Howdy, howdy, howdy. Well, you know, after all, this is Texas. So if I can say howdy, you'll just have to forgive me because I'm Texas to the core. Sometimes I'm not always proud of it, but today I'm going to be proud. You are watching and listening to the Blog Talk Show. I was just thinking, I'm Norma Adams Wade, your host, and you already know your role. You are my co-host, and as I tell you, I blatantly stole that from Wendy Williams. By the way, I hope Wendy is okay. I tell you what, let me tell you about my mask before we, well, I do want to tell you that I was showing you different issues of Texas Metro News, which is the sponsor of this show, published by Cheryl Smith. There she is right there. She's the publisher. And I was showing you different editions, pretty good information about what's going on in the African-American community. Black-owned publication, very proudly. My mask. I want to tell you about my mask, as I always do. I wear my mask because I am determined to respect the health protocol that health officials are telling us to do. I'm in a building with other people, but because I'm in a room by myself, I'm going to go ahead and remove the mask. Now, once I go out back into the public, I will put it back on. So good morning. Boy, do we have a wonderful show today. I'm excited. We have several very renowned guests, and I will go ahead and tell you a little bit about them, and then I'll bring them in. First of all, let me go ahead and bring them in visually, and then I will tell you who they are. Now, y'all, okay, all righty, and okay. All right, so we've got these lovely ladies. Oh, my gosh, don't y'all say anything yet. Let me tell everybody who you are. I already told them who I am, Norma Adams Wade, and I'm the host, and this is I Was Just Thinking. Okay, right up here, you see the name, Isabel Cottrell. All righty, and with her will be Antoinette Titus. And I will tell you who they are. And then on down here, we have Sharon Poindexter. And there she is. She's waving. And then we also have Kim Wilcock Harris. Now, who is Isabel Cottrell? You already know who Isabel Cottrell is. She is a prominent entrepreneur. She's a former, way back in the day, she was a model for cosmetics. She's a community advocate, and she's a supreme community philanthropist who has done many projects to help the African-American community. Probably one of her projects she's best known for is having a building at Paul Quinn College named for her and her former spouse, the late Coma Cottrell, who was a co-founder of Proline corporation that manufactured hair products, extremely popular back in, y'all remember the Jerry Curl? They had Jerry Curl products and the curly kit for kids and all of that. Now, Isabel Cottrell also has her own product line, which is Ethnic Gold. And so she'll tell us about her various business ventures. Now, Antoinette, can we see you, Antoinette Titus? There's Antoinette Titus. Can you move over a little bit more? Okay, over a little bit. There you go. Okay, now she is the CEO of In the Spirit Entertainment, and it has various subsidiaries in art and culture. And then Sharon is an instructor in cosmetology, so she knows all about beauty, and we'll talk about that. And also we have Kim Harris, Kim Wilcott Harris, and she is editor at large of Soul and Salsa magazine. And she and Miss Titus work together on various projects, and they'll tell us all about that. So, hello everybody. Let's go ahead and just Isabel started off and tell everybody hello. Miss Cottrell, can you hear me? Uh oh.
Yes, I can hear you.
Tell everybody hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Can you turn it up some? All right. And Miss Titus, can you say hello?
Hello.
All right. Okay, very good. And then Sharon, say hello so we'll be sure we can hear you. Uh-oh. Try your volume. We got to get all this technology together here. Okay, is that you? Well, okay, while you're fixing your volume, we'll have Kim Harris to say hello. Hello, Kim Harris.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you good. Okay, Sharon is going to work on her volume. And
hello,
Ms. Cottrell,
I had it on mute, I'm sorry.
Okay, say it again, Sharon.
I said I had it on mute, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, hello. Now we can hear you. And let's try Ms. Cottrell and Ms. Titus again. Can we hear you?
Hello. Hi.
Yeah, y'all are way back far away. Let's see. Is it any way?
Can you hear us now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. All righty. So, to begin, I want to know, Ms. Cottrell, let's start with how you got started as an entrepreneur. Audience co-host, today we're going to talk about the various business ventures of these wonderful ladies, what they're bringing to the community in terms of business and entrepreneurship, and just a whole look at women in business. And Ms. Cottrell, she has played a pivotal role as a female in business, and I applaud her so much for reaching out to aspiring women in business because she's got a stellar history in that area. So let's begin with Isabel Cottrell. How did you get started as an entrepreneur? Let's start there.
First of all, I would like to
can hardly hear you.
First of all, I would like to say thank you.
Let's see. Let me think now. Let me think how we can make this sound better.
I'm just trying to think. Did you put on speaker? Is your phone on speaker? You got to speak louder.
Okay. We've got to. And let me let our publisher say hello.
Hi.
Cheryl Smith is our publisher.
Hey, Isabel.
She's the voice behind all of this. So she's going to help us with this sound.
How's everybody?
How are you doing?
Great. Y'all look
so
gorgeous. We're better now. Say
thank you. Is that better?
Right. See, she knows what she's doing.
I know.
She knows what she's doing, okay?
Okay, is that better?
We need to see each other. You sound great. I can go back and listen.
Okay. Right. We're up and rolling. So I was asking you, tell us, how did you get started as an entrepreneur?
Well, first of all, I have to say, Norma, first of all, thank you for this opportunity, for you allowing me to be interviewed on this show. And Cheryl, I am just honored to be on this show and giving me this opportunity. And the second thing is, these young ladies that are on this show, they have so many amazing businesses that they're taking from birth. And it's my expenses when you plant a seed and you start off your business from scratch, I'll have to say that. And I wanted to give them the exposure and use my platform for that purpose. Say that my opportunity in being involved in business was as a model. I was asked to be a model and represent classes years ago.
Right.
And I felt like that was an opportunity for me to allow others to have this platform that I have today so they could be able to help others be aware of what opportunities they have to offer. And these ladies are out here and they want to help other women start their businesses, live their dreams. And it's so important that we be organic in what we talk about today, because it's normal. It's normal to go through different pandemics.
Yeah.
And we're going just going through a major pandemic. And being from the 70s, going into the beauty business, ended up falling career
right.
and business opportunities, they are very important.
Absolutely.
Things that we enjoy doing. And basically, at this stage in my life, I have to say right now, I am looking forward to these young ladies telling their stories more than my telling my story.
You having said that, and I love what you just said, you kind of have to, what I heard you say was you have to do what you enjoy doing and where your strengths are. Now let's move over to Antoinette Titus. What got you started as an entrepreneur?
Oh, it's just been in my family forever.
Uh-huh.
And so I've just kind of followed the leaders.
Good plan.
Right.
All right. And then let's move on to Sharon Poindexter. Got you started in cosmetology.
Well, as a kid, you know, we always play in hair and braid hair. So I was on drill team, braiding all the drill team hair. And it just like, it was like natural to me. So once I got older.
If you could have charged the fee back then, oh my God, you'd be all the way.
And so once I got older and was a single mom and, you know, wanted to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
That you had already met. But, you know, all that free hair I was doing,
right,
I should be paid for it. So that's kind of how I started that. And my dad, he was always behind me, wanting me to pursue what I wanted. So therefore, he pushed me into the hair industry.
Very good. Very good. Praises to dad. Now, Kim Harris, what got you started that led to you being editor at large of Soul and Salsa magazine? What got you started as an entrepreneur?
Well, actually, when I went to college at Texas Tech University, I worked for the only entertainment guy that they had there. And so I really worked very close to the editor at that point, but I was doing sales. So anyway, that kind of led to Soul and Salsa magazine, and I'm very excited about that venture.
You'll
so we've been able to feature a lot of unique artists,
yeah.
products, places, and people.
Very good. Sorry to over-talk you there. Okay. Very good. So, well, you were on the right path. You got on the right path, and you followed the course. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to hear just a little bit more before we professional part. I want to hear, let's go back, and we're going to kind of follow the same route. Isabel Cottrell, tell us where you were born and grew up, and I'm wondering, what were your interests as a child? And I'm going to ask that same question to everybody. Tell us, Isabel Cottrell, where were you born, where did you grow up, what were those an early childhood interest of yours?
Well, first of all, I was born in Bessemer, Alabama. Mm-hmm. I was born in a community where the church was the center of the community.
I know about that.
And, yeah. And I was involved in plays. And through school, when I was involved in school, I was in plays in school. And my mother and my father were very involved in our lives. My great-grandmother, Mrs. Polly Curl, whose mother was born a slave, who at 16 was freed and was able to read the banners on the different trees stating that we were free
as Americans.
And that's why, as African-Americans, and that's why I still have the name Isabel. It's popular now, but when I was a little girl, everybody made fun of my name.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But,
Wait a minute. You need to do that line. Well, how you like me now? That's what you need to tell them.
Well, I also have two granddaughters that have, my son's daughters have included my name in their name.
Oh.
And it's a generational name. So it's very important to me because as I think about my great-great-grandmother, I always think about the struggle she went through in reference to us as black women and to see my granddaughter, one of my granddaughters who was born, her mother was born in Ethiopia and she has natural hair. Okay. And to see how her mother would take care of her hair without having to use chemicals and never use pink rollers when she was a little girl.
I love it. Okay, let's move on to Miss Titus, Antoinette Titus.
Well, I've always loved the arts and theater. I grew up in Dallas, Texas.
Okay,
I attended
which
the
high school? Wait a minute. Which high school?
Exploratory Arts Theater and then downtown the Arts Magnet, Booker T. Washington.
Now. Okay, very
so
good.
I kind of all started with the theater and drama and everything. I did a play. I think in high school I wrote over like 14 plays. When I met Isabel, I was introduced to Isabel by Terry Allen. And at the time, I had started a new play called Hashtag We Woke. And I was looking for extraordinary women and men that have paved the earth for our black excellence.
Uh-huh.
And I portrayed the Isabel Cassell story in one of our plays. So we do a lot of great things for the community and around the world.
So good. All righty. Now, Sharon Poindexter, tell us about your early years, where you were born, and some of your interests as a child.
I was born in Houston, Texas,
okay.
And moved to California. I grew up in California, Palm Springs, California, and dancing. I was always on the drill team and being with family was most of our, you know, my childhood growing up and stuff was around family and just having that family love.
Very good. Wonderful, wonderful. Now, Kim Harris, I too, what are your origins and what were your interests as a child?
Well, I was born in Dallas, but I went to actually a school in Garland Christian Academy, where I was like the only African-American girl in the whole high school.
Wow.
So that kind of made me really have to learn a lot about different cultures and things like that, because I really didn't have a choice but to love everyone and get to know people.
Very good. Very good. All righty. Now let's move on to when did each of you enter business and dealing with the public, and I also am curious, once you kind of found your niche, did a light bulb come on? And we're going to begin with Miss Isabel Cottrell. When you kind of got into your niche, did that light bulb come on and say, you know, I think I'm on to something here, Miss Cottrell?
Well, I was asked to serve as a model at a National Beauty Cultures League convention in Birmingham, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And I was in college at the time, and in the evenings, I would basically do the modeling part-time because I was selected as Miss Black Alabama at that time.
Oh, wait. No, don't skirt over that now. How did you get to be Miss Black Miss Black Alabama?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I was selected all through school from my classmates as a person to represent our class. I always use those terms because basically they would have to vote for you to serve as Miss 8th grader and Miss 9th grader during homecoming season. And from that opportunity that they gave me, that's how I ended up in the industry, representing my school, George Washington Carver High School in Bethlehem, Alabama.
Okay.
And then later on in college, and also when my picture would be in the newspaper, people would contact us and say, we would like for her to compete in the Miss Black Alabama or whatever it was that was going on. And that's how I ended up in that role. It was not something I was looking forward
did
to doing, but I felt I had
to,
an obligation to represent my school and, you know, all the things they had done for me in the past. That's how I felt about a lot of that.
Did you have to wear a bathing suit?
Well, when I competed for Miss Black Alabama, yes, I did have to wear a bathing suit at that time.
Did you look okay?
Yes, I have a picture of it today. Yes, I have a picture. It's a beautiful picture. I was very, very, and it was a beautiful thing. It was, in fact, it was something that was happening through the radio station at the time.
Yeah.
That's why I have to applaud Tom Jordan and so many others in that industry, because they brought on so much opportunity for so many of us in these small towns and these communities, so that people would be aware of what was going on, from the musicians to the makeup artists, to the hairstylists, to the dancers, whatever it was out there. Most of the original, the Temptations came from Birmingham. The original Temptations were from Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay. Great. All right. Miss Antoinette, tell us about, when did your kind of light bulb come on that, I might be onto something here?
Probably as a youth.
Oh.
As a youth, because I loved all of that. I've always been the person, the go-to person in my family. Family reunions, I was always the one that was putting on the shows and everything and talent and people that know me, they know that's what it was. I think it was early on. You never know. You know, when you're trained as a youth, sometimes it goes further and you don't forget it, and it's always with you.
Very good. Very good. Okay. And Ms. Poindexter, Ms. Sharon, your light bulb moment.
My light bulb moment was when I actually got into beauty school. And all the things I didn't know that I thought I knew, and and just learning the different hair types and different cultured hair, and not just sticking with one race of hair, just being multicultural, it turned the light bulb on me. So once I advanced and graduated, I didn't stick to just African-American hair. I just, you know, I ventured out to everything and became mentoring to other students. Like, they looked up to me in class and stuff, and so it was like, okay, they would come to me to teach them what I knew. So then that's how I knew that education and hairstyling all went together with me, and I went back like 2 years after I finished cosmetology and got my instructor's license.
Okay. Now, you know what? You bring up a good point, and probably everybody else knows this, but I've never been a beauty person, so my head was always in some kind of book out in space somewhere. But anyway, you bring up an interesting point. I just really hadn't stopped to think about being taught to deal with different ethnic hair. It just hadn't occurred to me. So that was part of the whole instruction set to deal with different. Interesting. But everybody else knew that except me. Y'all all knew that. So that's wonderful. Okay. And so, Miss Kim, how about you? Your light bulb moment.
Well, I think my light bulb moment was when we did a lot of open calls for the models to be on the cover of Soul and Salsa magazine. And there were so many models that would come in crying, saying that they weren't accepted on the cover of a lot of other magazines because we like curvy, we like, you know, multicultural looking, we like, you know, uniqueness and things like that. So we love featuring that, and our whole motto was loving yourself, loving your culture. So there were so many models, like, even today that were like, you paved the way for me, you know, you believed in me. And they cried a lot because a lot of people in the industry told them that they weren't cute or their nose was too big or whatever the case may be. So that was more of my light bulb moment, to be able to have that platform for them.
Now, before I move on to the next phase of our conversation, let me just remind our audience, you are watching and listening to the Blog Talk Show. I Was Just Thinking, and I am your host, Norma Adams-Wade, and our guests today are very wonderful women who are entrepreneurs, and Isabel Cottrell is sort of the foundation for this conversation because of her achievements in the industry of entrepreneurship and community advocacy and being a philanthropist. Philanthropy, she's outstanding in that area, and many folk in our community and internationally, we'll get into that, are standing on her shoulders, and she's kind of modest about it, but I'm going to tell it. And so, again, our guests are Isabel Cottrell, Antoinette Titus, Kim Harris, and Sharon Poindexter. Okay. Now, I want to move to an upcoming event that sounds very interesting to me, and this is an event where Isabel Cottrell will be one of 15 women, African-American women, who will be honored as Women of Wisdom. Women of Wisdom. Yes, let's do that. I love it. I love it. Okay, and this is an event that is being sponsored by Elite News. It's going to be at the Belo Mansion, and it's an in-person event. It will be October 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Belo Mansion, which is in downtown Dallas on Ross Avenue, 2101 Ross Avenue. Now, guess who the prime honoree will be? Our local activist, Opal Lee, is going to be honored. She's going to receive, yes, absolutely. She's going to receive the Achievement Award, the Activist Achievement Award. And again, the sponsor is the Blair Foundation through Elite News, a Black-owned publication. And so Opal Lee, of course, is the is our local person from Fort Worth who was behind Juneteenth becoming a federal holiday, and President Joe Biden signed that act into law 2 days before Juneteenth. Juneteenth is June 19 every year, and it honors the time when we as African Americans in Texas found out that the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed 2 years earlier by President Abraham Lincoln. And we didn't get the word down here in Texas. Our ancestors, descendants of Africa, didn't get the official word until 2 years later in 1865. And so Opal Lee has been for years and years and years campaigning to make June federal holiday, and she succeeded in June of 2021. And so she is going to be the highlight honoree of this event, and Isabel Cottrell is one of the 15 women who will be honored. Now, everybody, let me just go ahead and tell you right now, please get your pen and pencil, because I'm going to tell you how you can attend this event, this in-person event. Okay, here's the phone number, and perhaps we can get it put into the chat. If you want to find out about getting tickets to this event on October 22nd, 7 p.m. at Belo Mansion in downtown Dallas, here's the number to call. 214-417-8729. And there's a backup number, but I'll just give you that one, 214-29. And you can get ticket information there. And you can pick up your tickets at the Elite News office, which is 3155 South Lancaster Road in Dallas. 3155 South Lancaster Road in Dallas. And you can get your tickets there. I know you want to go and be a part of this illustrious event. And the keynote speaker is this wonderful a motivational speaker and physician. He's a Dallas person, a physician, Dr. Donald Arnett, and he's going to be the keynote speaker. And he's going to talk up to our next generation about how not to let anything get you off track. If you've got a goal and if you've got a perception of yourself as a winner, he's going to talk to you young people, the next generation, about don't let anything get you off course. Mm-hmm. So he's the keynote speaker, Donald Arnett. Wonderful event, wonderful event. And so Isabel Cottrell is one of the honorees. So my question is to Isabel Cottrell, as a community advocate, what is the role that you seek to fill in the lives of individuals like these young women that are here with you today? And you have many experiences to share and that you have shared throughout the decades. Tell us how these will help as you advocate for our guests. How will your life experiences help as you advocate for these young entrepreneurs?
Well, first of all, hats off to every one of the women that's out here that's making things happen. And Norma, thank you again for this platform to allow these young ladies, as well as myself, to be on here to talk about what is happening today. As we know, after the COVID-19 vaccine started coming out, we know that there was a lot of controversy going on. But then I was invited to several events by Antoinette and these young ladies making things happen. And I'm like saying, wow, this is amazing. And when Kim was introduced the magazine, and she had it at a very nice place recently, and some other events she was having and with some of the advertisers, I was saying to myself, just think about all these people that would like to know what they're doing and how they can participate and how they can support her. And also with Antoinette, with her plays and her receptions that she's having, to give these artists and those that have dreams and writers and just people that are out there doing things today, they're not allowing what's happening in the world right now to stop them from being creative, from being team players, from making things happen. And I was impressed with all of that. And I know they were probably wondering, who is this lady that's asking me who I am and what do I do? And, you know, I'm sure they were like, because Antoinette knows me, and I haven't known Antoinette that long, maybe a few years. But I always like to see people that are doing things and not allowing what is happening around them to intercept what it is that they put out here to do, because God has given all of us talents.
Absolutely.
And we sometimes are not aware of what our talents were. But there are those that are out looking in. We are your mirror.
Oh, wow.
We are the mirror. You cannot be in the mirror and see yourself in the mirror at the same time. And that's one of the things I found out with even with my life. I wasn't able to see what talents I had.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget when Antoinette included me in one of her plays. And I looked at this play, and I had to, because I had no idea that that's how I was, you know,
perceived.
How I was seen or how, what I had accomplished or anything.
Right, right. So great. So, but let's move on to Antoinette Titus. And tell us, how do you seek to serve the community with your personal skills? We heard about Isabel Cottrell and how she has been in service. How do you seek to serve the community with your personal skills?
Well, at the moment, the Inner Spirit Entertainment, we provide a platform for all talent, all genres.
Okay.
Whether you be an artist, a musician, a comedian, a poet, we provide platforms around the world. We are in Los Angeles. We are in Ghana. Of course, Dallas, Texas. So I do have a company in the Spirit Entertainment in Ghana. So what we do, we provide all type of events, people to use their platform, to use their creativity, and, you know, to make this world a better place. And I do think that arts and our Black culture is very important. I love storytelling. Okay. And so that's how it came up with the We Woke play with Isabel and other great people around the world. And I think these stories are going to educate our people, because my daughter didn't even know really about Poline and the major hair care products. Now you have all these other countries here that are dominating our culture.
Right.
So I think it's very important that whatever we do, we pull back and we tell the stories from our forefathers and people as Isabel Cottrell and others, especially you, Ms. Norma Wade, because
yes.
I think that you're so amazing.
Oh, yes.
And
thank
that the stories that you guys have paved the way for us. And
yes.
Thank you so much for this platform as well.
You are most welcome. You are most welcome. So now let's move on to Sharon Poindexter. How do you seek to serve the community with your personal skills? You're not going to let it stop with you. Whoever that was who pushed you, here you are. You're not going to let it stop there. So how are you
doing? Well, I'm working on trying to open up a beauty college. So my education, like from hair shows to doing magazine covers of hairstylists and working with Isis Bradley, working with her, and just I've always taught other people, I taught at Paul Mitchell, I taught at Oval, all the prominent cosmetology schools, and so I want to be the owner of the school and give back to what they gave to me to future educators and students and professional, you know, future professional stylists, so they can have the education, you know, from our point of view, not just others' point of view.
Okay,
like,
now it's got to be in Dallas now.
I'm searching for a location. That's my hold up. I'm trying to find where God is going to lead me to.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Very good. Now we turn to Kim Harris. I am so curious. What is Soul and Salsa Magazine? What's that about?
It's about showing the uniqueness of different cultures through arts, fashion, entertainment, education. So I really love actually finding the diamonds and the rubs. I love finding new talent and being a platform for them, because there's so many artists out there that can even sing better than some of the top artists that are on the radio that are represented by Sony and things like that. So being able to let their light shine and giving them a platform for people to hear their music or, you know, learn more about other artists that are out there. I love doing that.
Okay, but now tell me how the magazine fits. Okay, and the name of the magazine, Soul and Salsa. What does that mean? Help me understand that. Go ahead.
Well, Soul and Salsa, I would love to be like a magazine that when people flip the pages, you know, like we own a lot of things now. You know, we own like a lot of perfumes and fashion designs and hair care products. I would love for people to flip the pages and see our brands represented, see our people represented, and things like that. So that would really make me excited to be able to be next to Ebony and Latina and, you know, kind of merge the two together.
What's the salsa part? What is that? Explain that to me.
Well, it's just like Soul and Salsa. It's just the name. It's just being unique.
Okay.
Multiculturalism.
Okay. So you're going to highlight, as you said, a different brand that we are coming up with in our culture, and you're going to be a platform to get the word out for entrepreneurs, it sounds like, to me. Is that correct? Am I right on that? And aren't you and Antoinette Titus kind of working together on that, or help me out on that? Explain that to me.
Well, yeah, we both have our own companies, mine and Soul and Salsa Magazine. She is in the Spirit Entertainment, and we both actually have a love for the arts.
So
when it comes to...
with each other. You kind of piggyback with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. I love it. Okay, now let's, Isabel Cottrell, let me get to this very important. Let me just tell everybody again, you're watching and listening to I Was Just Thinking. I'm your host, Norma Adams-Wade, and we have wonderful women entrepreneurs, local women entrepreneurs today, and each of them have kind of taken Isabel Cottrell, a trailblazer, as an female entrepreneur, and they've kind of walking in her entrepreneurial footsteps, and she has is giving advocacy to them and their efforts, and I think it's just a wonderful thing. And so now let me move Isabel Cottrell to your philanthropy, which is a huge part of your story. And as I mentioned, you and your late spouse, and you and your ex-spouse, the late Comer Cottrell, were just really trailblazers here in Dallas. You're going to tell us about your link with Paul Quinn College, the old Bishop College campus, and how y'all came to Dallas. Well, now, I remember when y'all came to Dallas. We didn't know anything about black folk leading out in business like that. We didn't know anything about that. How did y'all come here with all of that?
Well, first of all, I was working with Johnson Products Company years ago, and Comer was in Birmingham. He had set up a warehouse, and that's how I basically was introduced to him in that situation. And basically, from that moment on, you know, he was saying to me, you don't have to work another day in your life. And I said, no, I love what I do. I love working with Johnson Products. I enjoy all the things about it. I love going into the stores and making sure that our products are in there and there are cosmetics in there that people can test and use and they're affordable. They were quality products at the time. Johnson Products had very good quality products, cosmetic line, hair care products, and et cetera. And I love the movement of the education of the hairstyles while we wore afros. One, two, Wazuri used afro sheen and all those things back in the day. And I basically ended up meeting this gentleman who had a business. And there was another young man who was working in a store, and he was in the retail store, something like a Bobby Beauty Supply store. And he said, I'm going to work for this company. He said, you know, would you go? And basically, going on, I've always loved doing the beauty business, and I'm always enjoying what's going on in the market. I love to look at the products in the stores and see what's happening and the image they present with our hair care products. In the retail market as well as in the professional market. And I produce the hair shows and the education. We've been all over the world doing hair. I have done hair in London.
Let me put a pin in that. Don't skirt over that. You're a globetrotter. You are a globetrotter. Let me just ask, where's some of the most interesting places outside of our border that you have, where you've done business and that really sticks in your memory and that experience there? Well, name some places.
Okay, first of all, I enjoyed the continent of Africa and reference to some of the countries that I had an opportunity to present our products in. Most people talk about the Jerry Curl, but the Noli Relaxer that we had back in the days was a very permanent product. In fact, it was the product that carried ProLine into the new generation that we're in today. And I feel that we have to, and that when I went into the continent of Africa, I felt at home.
Yeah.
And my first time going on the continent of Africa was in 1975.
Wow.
1975. That was my first time stepping on the continent of Africa, and I felt like I was connecting with relatives I had never met before.
Wow. That's absolutely great. Absolutely great. Okay. But you were, let me just move on right quick. I'm going to stay with you for a while. How did your name end up on a building at Paul Quinn College. You and Comer Cottrell, how did your names end up on a building at Paul Quinn College?
Well, it was because Bishop College, who moved here from East Texas.
In the 60s.
Yes, and when we moved here, they were talking about, you know, closing the college or something of that nature.
Like
it had existed over 100 years, this mm-hmm. black college, this huge college campus with over 100 acres. And we did a major fundraiser with the Tony Dorsett Proline Tennis Tournament back years ago. And the Hunt family, the Lamar Hunt family, they basically had a reception for our event at their home in Preston Hollow.
Okay.
Unheard of for people to do something like that.
The Hunts were billionaires. Yeah.
Yes. And they hosted this event at their home in Preston Hollow. The Hunt family is also the founders of the tennis matches and things of that nature. In fact, from reading some of their information, I understand they also was named the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And they were very, very nice to us, and they were very interested in seeing this college survive. And over the years, we've had so many people to come and participate and try to save this college campus, this land, this property, so that our ancestors that were taking pennies and nickels and dimes that were in churches back in East Texas thought about this property here in Dallas, Texas area. This is the only black-owned college property in the state, in the Dallas area, I'll put it that way, in the Dallas area. So Comer and I worked very hard to bring Paul Quinn into that facility. And Comer would meet with bishops and things of that nature for many years in order to determine whether he should buy the college property out of bankruptcy after there was a bankruptcy. But once the bankruptcy happened, it was in the auction block, and Proline was the highest bidder,
okay. And
we purchased that land, that black people put together with their nickels and dimes and pennies from East Texas to put Bishop College there in this major city, in the inner city of Dallas, Texas.
All right, Isabel Cottrell.
Wonderful. That's how y'all ended up with the attribute of your name being on that building. Let me move. I'm going to reverse our order. I'm going to start with Tim Harris. I want to know, hearing some of these stories that you hear, Isabel Cottrell, as a trailblazer, Kim Harris, what is your view of women in business and what they face and how they handle it? What sticks out with you? What inspires you? What leads you forward when you think about the roles that women have played in business and how they've been able to move through to reach the heights? What's your impression of that?
Well, actually, it's interesting that you asked me that, because on the latest cover of Soul and Salsa magazine, we actually have a mother and daughter duo, and the mother is Coffee Caesar, who is one of the first black African-Americans that owned a model management company in the city of Dallas. She also won the only black broker of the year in the city of Dallas in that organization as well. So she rolled around as a European model. And my point is that I love featuring trailblazers. I love featuring women. There's so many articles in our magazine that feature a lot of women in part of the platform.
Very good. Wonderful. I'm inspired. Okay, Sharon Poindexter, your view of women in business and how they've moved forward through experiences, how does that, and how they have handled it? How does that come across to you?
Because women were always the ones that were supposed to be in the house, raising the children and taking care of the, mm-hmm. you know, the household duties. So men were always the leaders, the guiders, and all those different things. So when a lot of single parents had to come into play with single mothers and different things, we had to step up to be leaders of our family. So therefore, the trailblazers that paved the way for us kind of made it a lot easier now for us to step into roles that we never would have been able to do back in the day. So it is very
inspirational to me. I just met Miss Isabel on Saturday, and her story just has blown me away. And I'm just honored. I'm honored to be on the platform with her. Just amazed that, you know, being someone that I felt just like, hey, I'm just this ordinary hairstylist, but she saw something to draw me in to be on the platform for her. It's amazing how she has totally encouraged me to be great. Her.
Okay, very good, very good. Wonderful. Okay, Antoinette Titus, when you think about the role that women in business have played and what they faced and how they handled. Now, you even wrote a play about it. Not only did you witness, but you saw that lady sitting next to you, and you took up pen to paper and wrote about it. So what's your view? What's your view of that whole?
Oh, Dad, women in business, it's a lot. We have families, and that's a business. So, okay, so I'm looking at Isabel, Cheryl, yourself, all the women on the platform. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I know that sometimes the men, when we are thinking, so
okay, you're kind of breaking up a bit, but we're going to wait and get through that. You're kind of breaking up. Okay. All right.
Can you hear me now?
Now. Okay, just make that point again. Make that point again.
Okay, so what I'm saying is I think that men were always in the forefront in our lives looking at other men.
Yeah, yeah.
But the women were in the home telling them what to do.
All right.
They were the ones telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I do think that it's very important that we push ourselves a little further and we stay in the forefront, especially for our families.
Yeah, right. Exactly, exactly right. Anything, Isabel Cottrell, you want to add to that point?
I agree with everything that they're saying. However, I think that more women should own their creativity and their ideas, because you never know. It's almost like life has changed so much, and we have to plan. You know, we have to plan differently. Just like with the COVID-19, having to wear masks, women have to understand that divorces do happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Okay. And you make a point. I mean, that's the part of the life that we live. That is
yes.
The part of the life that we live. Okay, and I'm gonna do my reverse order again. As you look at business life, and you've touched on this a little bit, but as you look at business life and social life, and we're gonna stick with the Dallas area, and I don't know how much you've traveled beyond Dallas. I know about Isabel Cottrell, and Antoinette has your Ghana interest and Los Angeles and what have you. How would you say business and social life in Dallas compares to other parts of the nation that you may have observed or studied or traveled to? Are we doing okay here locally? Are we far behind? Do you see some areas where we really need to highlight and do some hard work? Let's start with Sharon. What's your view of how we're doing business-wise and social life-wise? Well, not only just from the women's perspective, but just community-wide altogether. What's your view?
I feel that as African American, we don't support each other like we should.
Mm.
I feel like Jill is over there selling a shirt for $45 and Kim is over there selling a shirt for the same $45. They're going to come to Kim and be like, hey, can I get 20% off? You know, but they'll go to Jill and they'll pay full price, no questions asked. So I feel like the support could be a whole lot better.
Right.
But socially, I feel that we're coming together more.
Okay.
As in going, you know, to events and motivational speakers and different things. I feel like that's coming together more. I'm sorry, I'm at my light went off. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm in my office.
Okay.
And I feel like the togetherness, like we're going to Kim's social relaunch party, it was like the energy there was so great. It was like she, like her atmosphere that she set for all the women to be like, you know, I can do this too. It was just like a great networking situation where everybody was in tune with everybody. It was not a social group over here clicking together. It was like everybody was in tune and enjoying the festivities.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Now let's ask Kim Harris, what's your view when you look at business and social life in Dallas? And again, I don't know how much you've traveled, but how are we doing here in the Dallas area in those arenas? And compare us with anywhere else you have observed how things are happening.
Well, I do travel a lot to like LA, New York, and things like that. And one thing that I can say here as far as the arts, we definitely need to do more tax brackets for people that want to bring films or any kind of entertainment here, because it's hard to compete with different cities to bring that revenue here when there's not tax brackets and discounts for those that are in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be one thing. Another thing that is a huge thing for me that I'm working with, my stepdad is actually the president of the Cedar Crest Association.
Okay.
So I've talked with him a lot about, like, you know, having a big black bank here, you know. So that's, I think that when we're not giving money to entrepreneurs, when there's not a bank, especially since there's like so many mega churches that are in this area, but then, like, we're not putting our money into a bank that can give money back to entrepreneurs and small business owners. I think that's the problem.
Let me just kind of comment on that a little bit now. And we're not going to get off on this just a little bit, but we all remember when, or have read about, when the African-American community was isolated unto itself. And the same with here in Dallas. We had to rely on each other. We had to, as Sharon pointed out, we had to support each other because we were all each other had. Now, historically here in Dallas, there was, in history, in Dallas Black history, there have been at least, I know of, two efforts. The original bank, and I think it was like in the 30s, Penny's Bank, Penny's, Pete, like put our pennies together. It was called Penny's Bank, and historically, Dallas Black history tells us that under the leadership of some top-notch Dallas Black leaders. I don't remember how long it was going, but it was here going for a while. And then I remember that when Erin Johnson was a state rep, she's a congresswoman now, but when she was a state rep, she was in an effort, and there was a bank that followed after Penny's Bank. In the Dallas African-American community. I can't remember how long it was around, but she was key in helping some leaders to get that going. So there have been efforts for black banks in Dallas. And again, the Penny's Bank was pretty well known and pretty successful back then. So now let's move on to Antoinette Titus. Your same view compared and your travels, looking at business and social life, African-American-wise as well as citywide, how are we doing compared to other areas?
I think we are behind. I think that we, as far as culture, we need to push a little bit more, support each other, and also, as Isabel say, seek ownership. Whatever you're doing, seek ownership and partnering.
Okay.
Partnership is very important.
Okay.
Partnership with other individual like-minded people, like all of us together, just partnering.
Okay.
I think we are behind.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it empowers us all when we're all together.
And I love somebody in the group was talking about when you had one of your events and there was networking. I think Sharon, I think somebody, one of y'all, talked about the networking. And, you know, I love that because that, oh, my gosh, that's just powerful. Networking is powerful. So I was just encouraged to hear the group talk about your events and how that helped to move that forward. Now, Let's move to the trailblazer, Isabel Cottrell. And you've done all kind of travels as well through various decades. What's your view of how we're doing currently in the Dallas area in terms of business and social life? How are we doing? And compare it to other areas where you've gone. And that's for Isabel Cottrell. That question was for Isabel.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me at all?
It's breaking up a little bit.
So many people.
Let's wait a second.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I would say the Dallas Metroplex area has grown tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are so many business owners here and business opportunities that exist. However, we do know we're in a global age, and we know that technology is very important. So whatever you're doing is going to be seen all over the world. Like this interview you're having with us right now, there are ways people can pull it up from anywhere in the world. And I just, again, want to thank you, Norma Wade, and the company you're with and all the people that you're working with to allow us this opportunity, because you are a professional, and we are dealing with a global market. We're dealing with companies that are public, companies that are merging every day. I was just reading that Shea Moisture just merged with the Unilever. And we have to be bigger than just local. We have to think global at all times. We know that the Crown Act, you know, that ties in with politics, and it's an international situation there. Unilever is one of the major sponsors. They're global. They're international. Our voices are heard on a larger scale as well. However, we still have these communities within these cities, and we have to network within these markets. Because back in the days, we had different associations, and I remember when we came into Dallas, June 19th was a holiday as far as the Dallas Metroplex people were saying. And we were involved in parades, and we brought all the American Health and Beauty Aids members from the Health and Beauty Aids Institute to Dallas. Mr. Gartner came. We had owners of the M&M company. He came. And so many of these men came into Dallas prior to this document being signed, and there were politicians that were involved in it. The Hustlers, Mr. and Mrs. Sam Hustler, who was a state representative, and they were making sure that we was aware of everything that was going on. Bill Bayhomes in real estate, he was the one that was out there making sure that the property was introduced to us when it was put up for sale, the Bishop College campus and things of that nature. So I think that networking is very important, and that we on a local level, we need to network, and the ministers also that have opportunities to make movies. Bring in some of these young ladies and let them be aware of the opportunities you have.
Yeah.
Open the door,
right?
Because when it's time to collect the money, you know, I mean, when I want you to give $5,000 and $10,000, well, help them make that $5,000, $10,000. Do an ad in their magazine. Make sure they're in the movie. Make sure they cover your stories.
Yeah.
And those PR people that's working with those companies, make sure you respect them. Because we have been here a long time, Norma Wade, myself, and so many others. And sometimes those of you that are out there that represent some of these companies and CEOs of some of these companies, you know us. Don't act like you don't know who we are. We have been here a long time. We've supported you. We've advertised with you. And we're just saying, just show us some respect. That's all we're asking. Thank you so much.
Can I say I know that's right?
Go ahead.
That was one of those. I know that's right.
For Texas Metro News, which brings this forum that we're on right now. And like I said, the publisher, Cheryl Smith, right here. Let me see if I can
get her. Awesome, Cheryl
Smith.
Yay, Cheryl.
Right, yes.
Go, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl. She is the voice behind this. So that's Texas Metro News. We're talking Black-owned. Garland Journal.
Yes.
There she is right there. Yeah. And then I iMessenger Media, which is the online component of the Black-owned publishing enterprise. And that's the vision of this one woman, Cheryl Smith, who's got a long history in media, both print and broadcast, radio, and now this internet. Now, y'all, I know nothing about social media, so I have to rely on all of them, because if you want to know about it, don't ask me. I do what I'm told in terms of social media. But venturing out into these new arenas is just it's overpowering for me, but for y'all, it's inspiring you, and for using these open doors, for using these platforms, and for taking it to the next level. Harris talked about how she wanted to use Soul and Saucer magazine to help get the word out. Sharon wants to do, I think I heard you say, a bigger college school, a cosmetology school, and Antoinette with your entertainment enterprise all in Ghana and West Coast, and Isabel Cottrell, we don't even need to talk about that. But I applaud you. I just applaud you, and I'm proud of you. You scare me to death. You scare me. Okay, now I want to, and let me just tell everybody, remind you, you're watching I Was Just Thinking. I'm your host, Norma Adams-Wade. Our guests today are women entrepreneurs who have taken the step forward, and they're leading us into the new generation of entrepreneurship. And so I'm just proud to present them here. Let me see how we're doing. I think we're doing pretty good. Okay, I want now to, I did want to ask Isabel Cottrell about this. Let me go back to you for a minute. You've met some very interesting, prominent individuals, not just in the United States, but globally. Who are some of the interesting individuals who come to your mind who have really made inroads? I heard you I heard you talking to someone a few weeks back, and I'm blanking out on the young man's name who does the nighttime show, the African American young man. I think he was born in Britain somewhere, and his name is leaving me. But you observe their goings on, and you taking notes. In other words, you're taking notes as you're watching all this. So who are some of the, you mentioned Tom Joyner, who are some of the interesting people historically today that really come to mind as individuals we might need to shine the light on? And that's for Isabel.
Well, basically, I think that Byron Allen, for instance, he talked about digital TV and digital movies, and he's investing in so many different things. But I think that people that start out in business years ago, they forget those people that were the ones that helped get where they are today. Back in the days, there were people that were advertising with them, and I applaud the founder of BET, Bob Johnson, because he is the type of person, to me, he never changes. And if you pick up the phone and you call him and you say, you know, I would like for you to do this or do that, he's willing to do that. And I applaud him to still that he's still the same type of person. To success. And start BET, because when BET started years ago, BET started out, you know, basically showing positive stories and showing, you know, just documentaries on different people, but most people didn't get a chance to really watch that. But when he upped the ante and started putting the rappers and all that on there, it grew and it became bigger, and then it was bought out.
Yes.
And we see BET Gospel, BET Soul. We see the family that's now in the Metroplex area that have shows on there.
Okay.
There are so many movies that are coming now on BET Gospel.
Right.
And it's just so many things. Even though it was sold, it became bigger, and we've emerged into different channels, as far as the gospel channels are concerned, the hip-hop channels, and so on and so on.
Trevor Noah, I think that was the young man that you were applauding.
Trevor Noah.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yes. Well, I was impressed with Trevor Noah in that he continued to bring on his elders and the villages he came from in South Africa. He seems to respect people. He has a great sense of humor in how he put that out. And during the COVID, I recall how he took the show into his home wherever he was living.
Right,
and he was
right.
put on his little outfit. You know, it was basically the hoodie. And he started becoming popular, and then he started asking people to contribute money and help different causes.
Okay.
And I thought that was so awesome. I said, you know, I love it that he went back to his village and showed his grandmother.
Right.
He had great balance in his life and the way he operates. That's basically, I guess I talk about him a lot, you know, especially during the COVID.
All right. Now, I want to talk about politics a little bit. I want to talk about politics. On the political scene today, some say our political arena is just business as usual. Some say we're very divisive politically today. Some say political activities discriminate against women, and women of color are at the bottom of the totem pole. I'm wondering, in terms of your efforts in the entrepreneurial field, where does the political, and I'm going to start the Sharon here and then go back in the other direction. Where does politics fit in your view of the world and what we're facing today, both as a people, both as professionals? What's happening on the political scene, either the right way or the wrong way, Sharon Quindex?
I think we're in a negative all the time because of our skin color. We'll always be looked over more as being African-American woman and trying to grow. Because, like, education-wise, we have more African-American women with bachelor's degrees and master's degrees than any other culture. But it seems like it still holds us back because, you know, they're going to look at our skin and see others. And we're not going to progress as much as if we were a white woman or something like that. And they're always going to pick the other races over us, is how I feel. It's going to be a very long travel for us American women to be viewed, or African American men to be viewed as equal to any race.
So we've got a little work to do. Let's move on. Let's go to Kim. Let's go to Kim Harris. Politically, how are we impacted by the political scene today, both in business and entrepreneurial arenas, in social arenas, culturally? How is politics affecting us?
Well, as far as with the magazine, I would say politics, we kind of look at more of the optimistic kind of side of it in the magazine. Like, we did an article on Bruce's Beach, which is part of Manhattan Beach, and it was a lot of people that were slaves at that time had went to the beach and became owners, and then they were, like, kicked out and all this stuff. And so now, in this day and age, they've actually did retribution to the family and things like that. So we like kind of putting more articles like that out there. But now, as far as, like, on the entertainment side, the cancel culture is, like, making it harder creatively for us to find raw talent because everybody's scared to talk these days. So for comedians and people that I would listen to, you know, a long time ago, they had more of a creative atmosphere. Nowadays, it's just everybody's scared to open their mouth. Mm.
to say anything because they're scared they get canceled and say the wrong thing.
Wait a minute. Who is the current comedian who's kind of under the gun? Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle is under the gun right now because he expressed, I mean, everybody's entitled to their own view, but somebody jump right in and give me your view of what's happening to Dave Chappelle. Or Kim, go ahead. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that Netflix knew what they were getting when they got Dave Chappelle. I mean, if he walked away from $50 million on the table to say what he wanted to say, they knew when they made a contract with him that he is known for controversy. He's known for saying what he wants to say. It's almost like he's a – I mean, if he had – if he was dressed up as a black person in a KKK outfit for a skit, then, I mean, come on. They knew what they were getting. So I think that they had their legal team pretty much ready for any drawback, but they were willing to take that for his freedom of creative energy and speaking.
Okay, Antoinette Titus, you write, you do entertainment. What's your view of Dave Chappelle politically and what he's under right now? Wait a minute. It's still breaking up. It's still breaking. Let's see. What can we do? Okay, while we're waiting on that, let's see. Did we hear from Sharon on that point? Sharon, while we're waiting on Antoinette's, okay, let's see. Go ahead.
I'm with Kim on they knew what they were getting when they got Dave Chappelle. Because he's always spoke his mind. No matter who was around, he's going to say what he want to say. And so everyone already knows this. So you shouldn't get offended or try to make a big chaos over something that you already know is going to happen.
Okay. Knew what you were getting into. All right, Antoinette Titus, what do you think? You're an entertainment writer. What do you think?
Can you hear me?
Okay, go ahead.
I do think that the Netflix legal tech. Okay, I do think that the Netflix legal team knew. I think our plan being I agree. And Netflix is okay. He's gotten his money and life moves on.
Life moves on. Okay, you're breaking up. You're breaking up. Well, let's see. I don't know what we can do. You're making some great points, but it's breaking up. So let's just keep going and keep trying to work on that. Okay, we're going to wind down pretty soon, but we've got a few more points before we finish. I want to go back around and. I'm going to start with, I think you're working on your technology on your end. So let's start with Kim Harris about any future projects. You've touched on it a little bit. Future projects, upcoming events. Kim Harris, what's on your agenda for the future?
Well, I just had the relaunch party that Sharon was talking about where it was so many different variety of business owners there, investors and things like that, where people really got a chance to talk together and work on ideas or whatever the case may be. You know, it was just a great energy there, and I've got so much good feedback for it. I wouldn't mind having like something like that again because it was – they were really handpicked. I mean, like, I have, you know, a lot of 5,000 followers and, you know, different followers, but, like, the people that I wanted in the room were people that I knew were supportive, that were open, that were business owners, that liked sharing ideas. So I think that might be another event that I'll have again. I don't know if it'll be a five-course meal, because that was – but I definitely want another event like that again. But, yes. One of the next phases that I know that is on the table for us is I have producers approach me all the time, of course, for a talk show. So some of the people that
were featured in the magazine, I can actually showcase mm-hmm. them live on TV and things like that. So that would be another phase for me.
What's your time frame? How long does it take to try to put something like that together? Here we are. We're almost at the end. We're almost at the end of 2021, y'all. How long does it take to build something like that?
To build which one?
To do again a type of event that you just were talking about.
Oh, yeah. I'm old school, so it really doesn't take me that long to do an event. If something comes into my mind, I mean, I'm like a Speedy Gonzalez in my head, like Antoinette, and I both kind of were mentored under Terry Allen, who's over Sister CEO, and I don't know if you've been around him, but he goes miles an hour.
Yeah.
So you just have to be in that kind of zone. So once I kind of know what kind of event I want to do, it doesn't really take that long to make some calls and happen.
Okay, before we hear from Sharon Fuentes, let's try Antoinette again. We were talking about future projects, upcoming events that you may be working on or have in the back of your mind. But hopefully we can hear you. Antoinette.
Remember the...
No, we're still having those...
It's the internet connection. On December the 4th, we have Love and Sip 3.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, December 4th. Go ahead.
It's not.
I hear you. December 4th.
Oh, okay. Yay. We are having an event called Love and Sip 3. It is a great event. It will showcase a lot of artists.
Okay.
Comedians, poets, you know, Grammy Award winning. It's kind of like a Grammy party, so you don't want to miss it. I think it's really great for the community, and it's all about love, self-love, relationship love, and also we will be talking about mental awareness because we need that right now in this community. COVID still going through a pandemic.
Okay.
So I think that this will be a great event. It is a dinner, December the 4th, downtown JFK Museum.
Oh.
And you can find that at InTheSpiritEntertainment.tv.
Okay. And that we're going to come back. Don't tell me now, but before we leave, we're going to hear from each of you how the public can get in touch with you, how they can have access to you on the web, any kind of contact information, and maybe we can put it in the chat. But we'll get to that. Okay. Let's see. Did we hear from Sharon? You talked a little bit about your plans for a college or a school. We're talking about future projects, upcoming events. Sharon Poindexter.
Yes. Hopefully within the next year, I want to open August. Finding location is like the only thing keeping me from doing what I need to do as in opening my Sharon Styles Institute of Cosmetology. And so once I get the location, I'll be ready, set to go. So I'm just hopefully August, when the kids go back to school, parents can go back to school, young adults, whoever, you know, can go back to school when they start as well, is my goal. Right now I'm a traveling hairstylist. I go into the elderly's home, you know, with it being COVID. I go into their home. So if you have any loved ones that, you know, you don't want to get out into the salons or whatever, I travel to their homes and I do everyone's hair, you know, or they can come and see me whichever way you like to do. So.
Hey, and she comes on set.
Yes. I do fashion shows. I do magazine cover, do hairstyles for Kim a lot when she's out and about, and just available hairstylist that, you know, travels and do. That's
very
my
thing. Okay, and Isabel Cottrell, any future projects or upcoming events? Of course, now let me mention again about, where are my notes on that, Women of Wisdom, October 22nd at the Velo Mansion. Here we are. You are one of 15 women who will be honored during that event, Opal Lee, our Lady Juneteenth, she will be one of the featured honorees, and it's being sponsored by the Blair Foundation. Elite News is behind that. A wonderful keynote speaker, physician Donald Arnett with UT Southwestern, and he's a biologist and a physician, and he's a motivational speaker, a cardiologist. He's a mentor to young people, and he's written a book, I Am Supposed to Be Here, is his book, his first book, I Am Supposed to Be Here, The Art of Dealing with Perception. Okay, so Isabel Cottrell, tell us about upcoming, and you can give us your input on this Women of Wisdom as well. Future projects, future events. Isabel Cottrell.
Well, as far as future events, I think it would be great to have an African-American museum at Paul Quinn College and on the land there. It's over 100 acres there. And I think that the African Methodist Episcopal Church, which is where, it's so amazing because every time I think about so many of the major leaders that came out of that type of religion, like Rosa Parks, I had an opportunity to work with Rosa Parks. I worked with the that Martin Luther King started, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. And I feel like from the standpoint of a state and having the land over there, we should have an African-American museum highlighting the history of Bishop College and all those families that came along and contributed to buying that land. And also that Bishop College history should be tied in with the Paul Quinn history. And I know that there are new people and ministers that are out there, mega ministers' names that are being placed there. But I think that we always should go back to the seed and where something started.
Right.
And I just feel that that respect should be there. And I would love to talk to the ministers, I mean, all of those African Methodist leaders and everything, and the founder and all of that, so we can come together and merge and not leave out the everyday person, the person that people overlook. And these people were very important because it takes a village to raise a family. It takes a village to
You're breaking up. You're making some very good points. Okay. Well, let me step in while I'm here. Go ahead. Well, anyway, you're breaking up, but I wanted to make the point. I was inspired when you talked about planting seeds of African American history and about how you envision a museum on the land at Paul Quinn College that gives the history of its predecessor, which was Bishop College, and it made me think of Dr. Harry Robinson Jr. and the fact that the African American Museum that is now at Fair Park, that is now at the Fair Park location, that it started on the campus of the old Bishop College, down in the basement of that library, that is wonderful historical building that is now at State Fair, on the land at State Fair, started in the basement of the old Paul Quinn College library, and that Dr. Harry Robinson Jr. was the brains and the energy behind that. And so that you, Isabel Cottrell, envision doing a sort of an offshoot of that on the land that is now Paul Quinn College, and as homage to the history of Bishop College. And there, you know, I remember when Bishop College closed, and I think it was 81, somewhere in the 80-81, and I remember there were all kind of fundraising efforts and people from the African-American community just bleeding blood trying to save that institution, and many of the records were scattered. Many of the records were scattered, but I think someone was able to kind of bring most of them back together. But what I hear you saying, Isabel Cottrell, is that you would like to see something along that line of Bishop College that was the predecessor of Paul Quinn. So as we wrap up, I want to, any of you who have any topics or subjects or viewpoints or perspectives that we did not touch on during this wonderful conversation, I've just enjoyed you ladies so much. Please grab the floor right now. Let me just go around. Okay, I'm going to start with Kim Harris. Any other points you want to make, observations that we did not touch on? You've got the floor.
Well, I would say that one of them is I do have a card with the largest Black-owned bank in the world right now, so I would love for them to be able to come to Dallas, so because they've already kind of been around working in other cities,
okay,
in California, New York, and things like that, so if anybody out there is interested, that would be awesome.
Okay, great. And I wanted to piggybacking on what you said. Did we lose Sharon? Okay, there she is. I wanted to say on behalf of Sharon Poindexter, you know, we got a lot of real estate owners here in the Dallas area, and I want to invite any of you who may know of some real estate that Sharon Poindexter can use to open this institution of education for cosmetology. Y'all get in touch with her, and y'all are going to give your contact information in a minute. Get in contact with you. If you know of a site that is available that she can use for her institution that she envisions, reach out to her. We got a network. We got to support each other. So I'm saying that on her behalf. So, Sharon, any other point that you want to make that we did not touch on?
I think we covered everything to, from politics to inspiration and networking. I want to say thank you for allowing me to be on the show with Ms. Isabel. It was a great honor, and I would love to meet you one day real soon. But thanks for the shout out, and thanks for letting people see other aspects of our culture.
Well, Antoinette, any point that we did, any points or topics or subjects that we did not touch on that you would like to mention at this time? And then before I forget, everybody, we've got to tell the public how to get in contact with you. But first, Antoinette, anything that we didn't touch on?
No. I just want to say thank you to Cheryl Smith and yourself again, Ms. Norma Ray, and Isabel Cottrell on having me on the show today. Thank you so much. Spirit Entertainment.tv. Thank you.
Very good. And Isabel Cottrell, any points that we didn't touch on?
Well, at this point, I think that this show has been a winner. And just to pull all of us together and make this happen, it was a little challenge because of some of the technology and other things that are going on. But God allowed us to have this conversation.
Absolutely.
And I think we should do more of it.
Yeah.
And talk about more things that can happen in the Dallas area. And it's a big project for you, Norma, because you know how to put it together. You know the right questions to ask. And you know what it takes to make successful women in the media.
Very good. Very good. Now, okay, everybody give your contact information. Let's see. I had somewhere in my notes. I probably ate it during the show. But everybody give your – okay, let's start with Kim Harris. What is your – what's the best contact information if someone wants to get – to you probably through a Soul and Salsa magazine or
mm-hmm.
any other way, how can the public reach you and see your product?
Okay, well, at soulandsalsa.com, you can actually click on the cover and flip through the magazine. But in order to actually reach us, we're on
all the social media platforms. You said Soul and Salsa at Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. So we have a lot of ways in which you can reach either myself or other writers. So, you know, if you have a good idea, if you have a great story, if you want us to feature an amazing woman, you know, just let us know.
Great. Okay, that's Soul, S-O-U-L-A-N-D, which is Ann, Salsa, SALSA.com, soulandsalsa.com. Okay.
Yes.
And you're on all of that social media stuff, which
mm-hmm.
I know nothing about. Okay. Now, Sharon Poindexter, how can the public reach you? And these real estate people who are going to bombard you with
yes.
you can tour and make a decision where you want to open your institution. Okay, how can the public reach you?
You can reach me at 469-639-9984, or you can reach me at Sharon Styles on Facebook and Sharon Styles 211 on Instagram.
Okay. Say it again. Just kind of slow down a little bit. The phone number I wrote down, 469-639-9984. Now, what were those others again? The after the phone number, then what was the other thing that you said? Something about Instagram and what else?
Instagram is Sharon Styles
okay,
with
spell
the Z.
Sharon. Spell Sharon.
S-H-A apostrophe R-O-N Styles S-T-Y-L-E-Z.
Ah, okay.
211, that's at Instagram.
Okay.
And just the Sharon Styles on Facebook.
Okay, all righty, very good. So we got Instagram, we got Facebook, and then we've got a phone number for you. Very good, very good. Okay, now let's see. All right, let's move to... Ms. Antoinette Titus, how can the public reach you?
You can reach me at InTheSpiritEntertainment.tv.
Okay.
InTheSpiritEntertainment.tv.
Okay.
We're on all social media platforms under InTheSpiritENT. Twitter, Facebook, all social media.
Wonderful.
Instagram.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. And Isabel Cottrell, we don't really want to put your stuff out too much. You'll have everybody in the world trying to reach you. But anyway, how do you want, if you so desire, because you, listen, ladies, you have paid your dues, okay? You have paid your dues. So you
Thank
deserve
you.
Some rest. And I don't want to... make you work any harder than you already have. But if you wish, can they reach you through one of these ladies, or how do you want to be? How do you want to put yourself out there, if at all?
Yes, well, they can still reach me through the Ethnico at swbell.net,
okay.
And then Antoinette and her project that she's working on as well, because I am working on my memoirs, and I have been recruited by several filmmakers.
Okay, you faded out, but I heard you say that you're working on your memoirs, that you can be reached through Antoinette and her various concerns, and that you've been contacted by some filmmakers who are thinking about perhaps putting your life on film. So Antoinette already put you on
yes.
stage. Sherry, to put you on stage. So now we're talking about maybe some filmmakers. Yeah. So very good, very good. Well, ladies, it has been a pleasure. I wish you all Godspeed. And if you go forward with the same energy that you approach your daily life with, I know you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. So wish you well. Thank you so much. You're welcome. All right. So I'm going to say goodbye. I can't. Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. All righty. I think we got everybody. Oh, wow. That was delightful. I mean, you know, it gives you hope.
it gives you hope for the future that, you know, our future is secure. And African-American women, we're on top of it. We're on top of it, and we're moving forward. And I, as I say, the publisher of these products, you know, that if that's not an example of what one force, particularly as an African-American female, if that's not an example of what can be done by your energy of an individual, then I don't know what is. But I'm encouraged and I'm inspired, and that was delightful. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about things that have been going on in the news. I saw an item a few weeks ago, it might almost have been a month ago, that I've been trying to get to talk about, because it really kind of struck me. And this was a newspaper story that I saw about several weeks ago, and it says college students opt for more pot, less alcohol. And it says use in the year 2020 may reflect increased isolation and anxiety. And it talks about how during COVID that we all know about how the pandemic just isolated everybody. And we even know that domestic violence, there was an uptick in domestic violence because families and spouses were stuck at home. You had no social outlet. And so there was this feeling of frustration, anger increased, violence increased, even suicide increased. And so this article a few weeks ago, I'm going to just make some highlights from it. It says the coronavirus pandemic that killed more than 6,058 people in the United States and affected 41 million, that it upended economics and it moved classes to bedrooms, and it may have added another change for college students. They would do it using less booze and more weed. Now, we know that booze used to be a big, huge part of college life, and there were, you know, beer parties and all like that. But this news item says that what we're dealing with today is less booze and more weed. And it says a newly released study found that nearly half of the country's college-age students said they consumed marijuana last year, leading researchers to wonder whether the pandemic may have spurred the record in cannabis consumption, and that one of them said that the trend underpins the changing practices during the global health crisis, and that there's a struggle. Underlying it is a struggle to adapt, and that college students, in their effort to try to deal with daily life, they kind of moved away from booze and moved to weed. And then here's a quote by the director of the federal government's National Institute on Drug Abuse, and this official says, the pandemic seems to have actually made marijuana into an alternative to escape the monotony of isolation. He says that it made life, the pandemic made life become more boring, more stressful. So if drugs let you experience that completely different mental state, he says, I wonder whether that would be a factor that leads people to use them. So the government that studies drug use is trying to figure out what was behind this uptick in the use of cannabis and marijuana and weed and what have you during the pandemic. Was that people just trying to cope, trying to escape? The study is called Monitoring the Future, and it was funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse. And it has been tracking drug use among college students and non-college adults, particularly in the ages of 19 through 22. And they've kind of been studying this for well over two decades. And so it says the researchers conducted the 2020 edition of the survey online, you know, interviewing college students. And they asked about more than 1,500 young adults during that period of time from March to November of last year after the coronavirus pandemic had hit the United States. And it did this survey. And so according to the report, 44% of college students reported using marijuana in 2020, an increase from 58% some years ago in 2015. So from 2015 to 2020, there was an increase of marijuana use, a 38% increase in daily or nearly daily use. And the daily use rose from 5% to 8% over the five-year period. Now, it says at the same time, it reported that alcohol use among college students dipped. Now, it dropped from 62% in 2019 to, from 62% in 2019 to 56%. That's a drop. With the number of them reporting being dropped. You know, we always used to hear these drug college student stories. So those who reported being drunk in the past month that the survey was done, it decreased from, it was 35% and it went down to 28%. Now, binge drinking, and that was defined as having five or more drinks in one outing, at least once in 2 weeks, it fell from, it was 32% and it went down to 24%. Now, another trend that emerged from the survey was a 4 percentage point increase in college students using psychedelic drugs, with hallucinogenic consumption raising to 9% in 2020. From it had been 5%, so it went up from 5% to 9% from 2019 to 2020. And among non-college young adults, the use of these drugs increased. It was 8% and it went up 10%. Now, although the study does not address the cause behind these tendencies, scientists speculate that the pandemic's toll on daily life and on mental health may be one of the driving forces behind young adults' consumption patterns. And it says the historic drop in alcohol intake, for example, it coincides with a time marked by isolation, quarantine, and a plateauing of social events. So you know, what we're looking at here is that, y'all, we look like we can't cope. We can't cope as a society, particularly our young adults. We can't cope very well. Now, here's another person, a psychologist, who said, he said, that's definitely one of the greatest pandemic effects. And he said that we clearly see that young people use alcohol as something to be taken at parties and gatherings. But with the pandemic, those were not happening. So alcohol intake and binge drinking dropped. With marijuana, the pandemic effects are not as clear, those who are doing the research said. And then it looks at some national trends. And it talked about in the United States, the majority of the population has access to cannabis. Now, 18 states have legalized recreational marijuana for adults over age 21, and 37 states have legalized it for medical purposes. Now, that's, you know, the medical use is always an interesting thing. There's something to that. It's something to the medical use about it. Now, in the District of Columbia, decriminalized marijuana and psychedelic drugs have happened. Now, in places where recreational cannabis remains illegal, some students have received medical clearance, or they use hemp with delta D THC, which currently inhabits a legal gray zone despite being intoxicating, albeit less so than delta 9. And then some researchers have gone on to make various comments about this delta 9. And so according to some of these experts, using substances to reduce anxiety could increase the risk of development of substance use disorders or dependence. Now, here's another researcher who says some may find that cannabis use can accurately increase anxiety, particularly in new users. And so that's not good. They're taking it to try to calm their anxieties, but this analyst is saying that it can increase it. And then it also says that a worrisome finding from the survey was that the record dropped in the drug's perceived risk. Here's the quote. It's at an all-time low among the 18 to 20-year-olds, with only 24% believing marijuana use poses a great risk of harm. So what this, and then he goes on and it says, and it's really not just college students, it's society in general. It says this can be quite dangerous. And what he's saying is that that age group that they studied, they're poo-pooing any risk. But these analysts are saying it's not good to look at this escalation of hallucinogenics and what have you. It's not good to just poo-poo it and say, oh, there's no danger here. They're saying you really kind of have to keep your eyes open. And he says, turning to drugs as a coping mechanism is one of the major points of concern that scientists are trying to understand, especially with research showing that these substances pose significant harm to young people's development when they are consumed regularly. Let's get that point. Let me get that again, that when these substances are consumed regularly, there is research showing that these substances pose significant harm to young people's development. Okay? And so we just want to draw attention to that. And then lastly, for decades, drug trends have ebbed and flowed. And in the 1980s, cocaine was at its peak. 10 years later, heroin was at a peak. And in the 2000s, the 2000s were marked by an opioid crisis that continues today. Now, 2 years ago, nicotine vapors worried researchers. Now, we went through that whole vapor episode, and so researchers were worried about that. So the use of these substances among young adults has decreased and continues to do so, while the use of pot and what have you. So alcohol has decreased, but pot use has increased. So that was kind of an interesting study that I wanted to share. One more point. We've got about 5 more minutes, and before we hear Teddy Pendergrass take us out, as I love for him to do, I wanted to just highlight this one story. Now, this one goes back several weeks, but I've been wanting to share it. And this one says, parents must pay up for trashing their son's porn. Now, this happened in Grand Haven, Michigan. And it says that a judge ordered a Western Michigan couple to pay a little over $30,000 to their son for getting rid of his pornography collection. Now, he lives in their house, and a judge ordered them to pay them over their son over $30,000 because they threw out his porn collection. And this judge was U.S. District Judge Paul Maloney. And his decision came 8 months after the son, the 43-year-old son, won a lawsuit against his parents. Now, the son said that they had no right to throw out his collection of films, magazines, and other porn items. Now, he has lived at their Grand Rapids homes for 10 months after going through a divorce before he moved in with his parents. And it says the judge followed the value set by an expert at mlive.com and that the parents must also pay that son's attorney's fee. The attorney's fee is $14,500. So they got to pay the son over $30,000 for throwing out his porn collection. And they've also got to pay his legal fees of $14,500. Now, that's an interesting development there. So we are about ready to say goodbye. And I don't know if I can get to Teddy, but let me see if I can get to Teddy. Okay, there he is. There he is. Now, we want to listen to Teddy. Okay. What has he got to tell us? What is Teddy Pendergrass got to say? I think he wants us to wake up. I think he wants us to wake up. No more sleeping in bed. No more backs for shaking. Time to take a hand. That's it.
Everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking. Time to take a hand. World's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred. War and
poverty.
Poverty.
How
do you want to talk to the teacher?
Oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, when you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
Come on, the
world won't get no better if we just let it be.
No.
The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Yeah.
Wake up, all the doctors make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. Won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up, all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. We gotta change it, just you and me.
somebody. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Dead boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world. What it used to be.
Ain't going alone.
Need some help, y'all.
Need some help, y'all.